How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of Locked On Redskins. I'm your host, as always, Zach Hicks. And today I'm joined by a very awesome guest, one of the most knowledgeable Saints guys out there for the Canal Street Chronicles over at SB Nation, John Sigler. What's up, John?
Hey, Zach. Thanks for having me on the show. It's great to be here, get my insight, and really preview this matchup for this upcoming weekend.
Of course, man. Of course. I love your takes on the Saints, so it was a really easy choice for who I was going to invite on the pod this week. Before we kind of jump into it, though, I know the Saints are a little dinged up this week in practice, some of their star players, too. Can you give me some updates on their injured players?
Yeah, man. Okay, so all three of their top leaders and snap scouts played up to this point in the year have missed practice this week. Safety Kenny Vaccaro, he's been out a few weeks now with a groin muscle injury that 2 weeks ago was described as a precautionary. Pulled him out of the game, and he hasn't practiced in 2 weeks, so we're not sure what's going on there. Linebacker AJ Klein injured his ankle this past week in the win against the Bills. He's been out of practice all week. He's most likely going to miss the game. And then today, on Thursday's injury report, we found out that defensive end Cameron Jordan, repeat pro bowler, one of the more underrated pass rushers around the game, was held out of practice with a back injury. He did practice yesterday. This is kind of sudden, so it's not very clear the severity of the injury. I mean, if it's going to be an issue at all, or if he may be on a pitch count. We just don't have enough information on that at this time. So the Saints are missing some pretty big names on the defensive side of the ball, which, as we all know, has been a very surprisingly strong unit this year.
Exactly. I mean, the Saints this year have been really surprising in general. The last couple of years, they haven't really been the Saints of old, the Saints that won that Super Bowl a couple of years ago. And this year, we're finally seeing that Saints team come back to the prominence, back to being one of the best teams in football. Why do you think that is? Why do you think the Saints, like this year in particular, have turned it around, have turned into, you know, perhaps the best team in the NFL?
Man, it was just a magical offseason. That's the best way I can think to describe it. A miracle, however you want to spin it. There's every one of their top 100 draft picks has started a game at some point this year. Their first four picks, they had first round grades on all four of those guys. That's cornerback Marshawn Lattimore, right tackle Ryan Ramczyk, running back Alvin Kamara, and free safety Marcus Williams. Each of those guys is playing a ton of minutes. They're making a ton of plays out there. They've had plenty of Rookie of the Week awards between them, and it's just really turned this team around. They got a bargain defensive end in Alex Okafor out of Arizona. He's second on the team with 4.5 sacks. He's on pace to have a career year. And between him and all the rookie additions, second-year players stepping up like Sheldon Rankins, David Onyemata, Von Bell, and Mike Thomas on offense, I mean, the Saints have just drafted exceedingly well the past 2 years, and we're really seeing those young guys step up, make a ton of plays, and win some ball games.
Yeah, for sure. And we will get into all that when we go into our positional breakdown, but you did say it was a magical offseason, and in that magical offseason, probably the best signing of them all was Adrian Peterson. Can you break down that signing for us and why it didn't work out in New Orleans with Adrian Peterson?
Yeah, Peterson, I mean, like we're seeing in Arizona, he's a volume running back. He needs, 18 to 20 carries a game to get to a rhythm and get out there and bully guys around, and this wasn't his role here in New Orleans. Now, when he signed on, he was okay with that. Kind of being an upgrade over Tim Hightower, who we had last year, was believe second on the team in carries. It was kind of a change of pace back for Mark Ingram, but when it came down to it and it was time to execute that, Peterson just wasn't really up to snuff. He just didn't have the burst that he's had throughout his career here. He just wasn't struggling to execute his assignments, and Alvin Kamara was such a better runner than he was expected to be at this point that that made Peterson obsolete. So it sucks that it didn't work out, but you know, he's playing well in Arizona from what I've seen, and Saints did recoup a draft pick for him in next year's selection. It's not the way we wanted it to go, but I think everybody's fairly content with the situation.
Yeah, it was kind of a win-win dumping him. I mean, I actually questioned the move in the offseason. I really do think the Saints need that kind of pass-catching role back. And when they drafted Kamara, man, I was super excited. I heard you got some flack from somebody on Twitter, though, for it. What was that about? When Kamara was drafted, he was what kind of pick again?
Oh, he was a luxury pick. It didn't make sense because, you know, the team has Ingram. They have a Peterson. Well, how is Kamara going to get on the field? I mean, how's a rookie going to beat out a former NFL player of the year with Peterson? It just doesn't make sense. I've heard it all over Twitter and SI.com and ESPN and whatnot. And now we're at the halfway point of the season, and Kamara's looking like a legit offensive rookie of the year candidate.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Kamara has been excellent. And again, we will get into that kind of stuff here in a second when we go through our positional breakdown here, but I just want to remind you guys to tune into tomorrow's show because I will be doing my first ever scouting reports on two players for the Redskins. So, guys, be sure to tune into tomorrow's show as I break down the game of Kendall Fuller and Brandon Sheriff and how their season has gone this year. So to jump into our offensive breakdown here, we're going to start with the quarterback position. Now, Drew Brees is a Hall of Fame quarterback. Some would say even a top 10, maybe top 5 quarterback of all time. Drew Brees is an outstanding quarterback. And so it's been all him, right? That's the reason why the Saints are winning it all. It's been all Drew Brees this year?
Well, he has been executing the offense, and it's a very different one from what we've seen in New Orleans the past few years. Historically, the Saints are a vertical passing game where they're taking shots downfield, they're keeping defenses on their heels, and they're just rocking and rolling. Whether it's threats down the seam like Jimmy Graham or Brandon Cooks, they're just making one big play after the next. This year, it's just a different offense. They're much more lateral based, and that's because they've got some exceptional receiving backs and Alvin Kamara, like we mentioned earlier, but Mark Ingram has very underrated receiving ability as well. Both of those guys are catching about 78% of their targets. They're picking up first downs, they're scoring, they're moving the chains, and that really opens things up for the Saints to work in other guys like Ted Ginn Jr., who's having a career year. He's already beaten his career high in receiving yards 9 games into the year. Michael Thomas, in his sophomore year, he Odell Beckham and Randy Moss are the only wide receivers to log, I believe, gosh, what was the stat? It was like 150 catches less than 20 games into their career. So he's in very good company, and he's playing like it. I mean, we saw him go 7 for 117 over the Bills this past weekend. So Brees, he's definitely at the reins. He's an all-timer. He's a legend, and he's just doing a lot to keep this team rolling, even though they're attacking kind of unconventionally for a Sean Payton offense.
Yeah, would you say this is actually like a testament to Sean Payton's coaching ability? Because I know there was a lot of rumors going into the year that this might be Sean Payton's last year in New Orleans, because they haven't really been playing up to par of what the Saints have been, you know, the last couple years before that when they won the Super Bowl. So you think it's more of like a testament to Sean Payton's coaching ability that they're able to change their offense on the fly like this to accommodate like a better running team?
You know, I think it is to an extent, but this is the kind of ball the Saints have been wanting to play for a while now. That's why they invest in the running back position so heavily. Whether it's having guys in the backfield like Chris Ivory and Pierre Thomas many years ago, or more recently bringing in C.J. Spiller on a big free agent contract, or in this case drafting Alvin Kamara, signing Adrian Peterson, just really loading up and attacking up front. Now they finally have an offensive line that can consistently bully opponents. They've got running backs who can make the most of their opportunities in all phases, and they can really dial back the pressure on Drew Brees' shoulders, take some responsibility off of him to win ball games. He's on pace to have the fewest passing attempts since his 2004 sophomore season.
So jeez,
it's just a terrific shift in the offense, and I think we can put a lot of that on Sean Payton. Something I heard on another podcast earlier this week, that's the moving the sticks over with NFL media with Daniel Jeremiah and Ducky Brooks. The Saints are 32nd in the NFL in passing targets to tight ends. So that is a huge departure from where they were in the Jimmy Graham days, even when they had Ben Watson at the helm. It's just a different attack. They're hitting you in different ways from different directions. And as we're seeing, they're in the middle of a 7-8 game win streak here.
Yeah, I mean, the Saints are definitely legit. I am terrified to play them this week, no doubt about it. What about that running back duo, though? I mean, would you say they are the best running back duo in the NFL? I mean, they're so different from each other. They attack you in so many different ways. What's your take on these two guys this year?
Man, either one of those guys could be the bell cow in an offense. I mean, they can do everything. They can run up the middle. They can cut to the edge. They can slip out the backfield. They can run routes from the slot. They can pass protect, pick up some blitzers. I saw Ingram pick up Cam Wake a few weeks ago, and they're in a pass rush rep, and he won. And, you know, Kamara and Ingram, they form a great duo. Last year's best tandem was over in Atlanta. That's Devontae Freeman, Tevin Coleman. They combined for about 2,600 yards in scrimmage, almost, I think, 20 touchdowns. Ingram and Kamara, at the pace they've been on since Adrian Peterson was traded, if you stretch that over a 16-game season, you're talking 3,600 yards in scrimmage.
Jeez, man.
It's just incredible production out of these two guys. In the last 5 weeks, Ingram has put up 569 yards in scrimmage, and Kamara has put up 560. So that's the kind of threat you're working with here. Two guys who can put up over 100 yards on you any day of the week.
Yeah, it's a really weird day where, you know, New Orleans' biggest weapons are not, it's not Drew Brees, it's not, you know, some elite tight end or an elite speedster on the outside. It's the two guys pounding the rock every single play. I think they had a series, like a, I think they started the third quarter against the Bills last week, right, with like 22 straight carries or 23 straight carries.
24. They came too shy of tying an NFL record for the most consecutive runs. And, you know, during that drive, their shortest gain was 5 yards. They average 8.5 yards per carry during that 24-play stretch there.
Well, I know.
It was just, yeah. I haven't seen anything like it.
Well, I know Kamara averages, what, like 9 yards a touch, 11 yards a touch, and that's just that's insane for an NFL player, like even a college player. That's what Bryce Love averages per carry in college, and he's breaking records in college. Kamara is at, what, 9 yards? I think it's 9 yards a touch, right? Or I might be wrong on that.
It's about 9 yards a touch. I know that he's averaging 6.5 yards per carry, which, I mean, that leads all NFL running backs with 50 or more touches or carries. He's got this very underrated, well, it's probably not underrated anymore after they put up 300 yards on the Bills, but he's a very powerful runner between the tackles. He's got great balance, great vision. There was one play where the offensive line opened a hole so big that Kamara ran through it for 5 yards, got caught by the turf monster, tripped and fell to the ground.
I saw that.
And got back up and ran for 5 more yards. I mean, he just, his read and reactability, it's almost like a great linebacker in the way that he's able to process a situation and make a play where there doesn't seem to be one.
He's a budding star in this NFL. I mean, I had him as, I think, my 25th overall player. Now I'm feeling like I was too low on him. I loved Alvin Kamara. And by the way, I loved all these Saints players. Like, we're going to go into receivers now. And Michael Thomas, as I've said many times, I had him as my, I think it was my 8th or 9th overall player, the first draft I ever really scouted. And he fell to the, like, I think it was a late second round. How's Mike? And we already kind of touched on Michael Thomas and Ted Ginn a little bit. But anything else you want to kind of add about the receivers here?
Yeah, one guy to watch is Brandon Coleman, number 16. Yes. He's the third receiver. Really, he's fourth on the depth chart behind Willie Sneed, but Willie is, well, he's not had a great year. He's not getting many targets. He's only been targeted 3 times this year. Coleman, meanwhile, is having a career season on his way to free agency in the spring. I mean, he's already set his second most career receiving yards. He's received, I think, 3 or 4 touchdowns already. He only gets thrown at, man, probably 2 or 3 times a game. But he is good for a big play every time. He had a 65-yard catch and run against the Bears a few weeks ago. I think he blew a tire on his way to the end zone. Didn't quite make it.
He did.
And then he had another big play against the Bills this past weekend. I mean, he's a big play, big threat. He's 6'6", 230. He's finally looking like the guy who many scouts loved at Rutgers many moons ago.
Yeah, a fun little tip about Coleman. I said I like all these Saints guys that they drafted. Before I really ever scouted players, I try to get into it a little bit. I think it was my senior year of high school or my junior year of high school. I was looking into to random guys, and I was like, this Rutgers guy's pretty good. I think Brandon Coleman's going to be a stud. I had him as like a first-round pick. I love Brandon Coleman. And you know, and like you say, he's a free agent this year, so Redskins fans, keep your eye on him. He might be a fun guy we can go after. Is he restricted this year, though, after this year?
I believe so. I think he's a restricted free agent this upcoming year. The Saints have invested a lot in him. He's someone it may be hard for them to let go.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, he's having an excellent year. Now, let's talk about this offensive line a little bit before we get into defense. Now, you know, the running backs can't do it all on their own. They might be outstanding, and Drew Brees is outstanding in his own right, but this offensive line has to be a big part of it, right? How's this offensive line done this year?
Man, they're kicking ass, to be perfectly honest. That's what they're doing, man. We've got all 5 pieces healthy here. You've got Teron Armstead at left tackle. He's one of the best athletes in the NFL, pound for pound. I mean, everybody remembers his 40-yard dash at the combine. He ran a 4.7 at 295 pounds or however much he was. But he's finally healthy after injuring his shoulder in training camp. So he's holding down left tackle and just killing dudes. Left guard, Andres Pete, has really settled in, former first-round pick out of Stanford. He's found his home there. He's a bully. He looks like the sweetest guy ever, but, I mean, I watched him fold some poor Buffalo Bills, a defensive end in half the other day, and he's somebody who, I mean, you don't see many playmakers along the offensive line, but he is one. Max Unger, he's the closest thing to a weak link on this Saints offensive line at center. He had foot surgery in the offseason, didn't take a single practice rep until week 1 of the regular season. So he's been slow to get back up to speed, but now he's there, and he made quick work of the Bills' nose tackles. Right guard, you've got a new free agent signing, Larry Warford, signed back in March, who kind of similar situation, took him a little bit to get up to speed, but now that he's there, he's awesome. I mean, getting to the second level very efficiently, very very effectively moving linebackers out of the way. He's a beast. Biggest name to a lot of people, just thanks to recency, would be Ryan Ramczyk, the Saints' other first-round pick, besides Marshawn Lattimore, who we'll get to later, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Ramczyk, first-round pick out of Wisconsin. He only played one season of college ball. In his first game, he shut down Arden Key in Wisconsin's game against LSU, and he's done the same thing here in the NFL. Since he's settled in at right tackle after Zach Streep was lost to the year, Ramczyk, he has not allowed a sack. He's only allowed two hurries in his first three games. And that's against people like Cam Wake, Dominican Sue at times, and this really talented defensive lineman who he's really shown the business to. So the Saints have got a young O-line built out of draft picks, or high draft picks. So I think two first-rounders. Armstead was a highly touted third-rounder. Now he's in the middle of a free agent contract. They got Warford, Unger, possibly the strongest position group on the team.
Yeah, I mean, every position group on their offense seems to be the strongest. So this podcast has not made me any more confident in Sunday's game, so thank you for that, John. But before we jump into the Saints defense and what they're doing right on that side of the ball as well, because John will probably gush all about them as well, I remind you guys to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. This podcast has always been on iTunes. I appreciate all your guys' support, all the reviews so far. Tell me my voice is amazing. Tell me it's the worst thing you've ever heard. I don't care. Leave me a review. I do read it, though, so be a little nice at least. But that is review and rate and subscribe on iTunes, Locked On Redskins. Okay, John, now let's jump into the defense. Now, I don't want you gushing too much because I know the defense is a tad weaker than the offense. But let's start with perhaps the best player on the defense is Cam Jordan. How's he been this season?
He's been phenomenal. He's finally got some guys to help take some of that pressure off of his shoulders, lessen the load a bit, and let him go to work. He's had several multi-sack games. He's taken advantage of good matchups at every opportunity. I just can't speak highly enough about him. He's finally looking like that all-pro caliber player who has been really underappreciated by a lot of fans around the game just because he's played on a bad unit. He is the Saints' primary pass rusher. He leads the team with 7 sacks, 7.5, I believe. He's on pace for 12 on the year, and he's just playing very effectively. Teams do not run in his direction.
No way. Either.
The last time they did, I think they played the Giants a few years ago, and yeah, last year playing the Giants, they call a run in Cam's direction, and he basically folded the right tackle in half like an origami swan, threw him to the side, and then made the tackle, and it just hasn't happened since then. So he's not the guy you want to go. You want to attack. Him ending up on today's injury report on Thursday with him being held out with something of a back issue. That might be a relief to a lot of Redskins fans.
Oh yeah, for sure. It's definitely a big relief. I mean, we got bailed out last week when Everson Griffin didn't play against the Skins, and it definitely helped us in that game. And again, if Cam Jordan's out in this game, it's gonna be big. But the defensive line has played a lot better this year. Sheldon Rankins is again one of my favorite players I ever scouted. I think I had him as a top 10 player as well. And again, Okafor on the other side with 4.5 sacks. Their defensive line is playing well. Now, probably their weakest positional group on the team this entire year is their linebacker core. What can you tell me about the linebackers?
They're banged up. Their top two linebackers are both going to miss this game. And Alex Anzalone was the third-round pick out of Florida. He re-injured a shoulder that's been an issue for him for a couple of years now. Back in week 4, he's gone. He's easily their best athlete at that position group. A.J. Klein, free agent signee out of Carolina, same issue. He's out with an injury. He hurt his ankle against the Bills. He's been wearing a boot. He missed practice all week. He's not expected to play. So instead, I get to see what happens when Chris Thompson runs around the flats with Craig Robertson and Manti Te'o defending him, which I don't think is going to go well for those guys. They've played well given their roles on the defense. They've been kind of limited to exposure against these receiving type backs like Tariq Cohen a couple of weeks ago, mm-hmm. Ty Montgomery. I don't think that they're going to be so lucky against Chris Thompson.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Chris Thompson is an elite pass catcher. You know, he's not Alvin Kamara at this point, but he's close to. He doesn't have that insane ability that Kamara has, but he does a pretty good job with what he's got. So I do love Chris Thompson. All of us Redskins fans do. Then I think another linebacker is on your team too, right? Some depth guy as well. Nathan Stupar, he's also out for the year as well.
Yeah, Nate Supar was lost about a month ago, I believe, on a special teams play. He's one of the leaders of special team stats. Tore his ACL, I believe, covered downing a punt near the end zone. That really sucks. So now the Saints linebacker core on this Sunday is probably going to look like Te'o and Robertson as the top two guys, and then the reserves are going to see some action between Gerald Hodges. Gosh, who else? man, there's so many moving pieces.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I got you.
They're turning the bottom of the roster.
Yeah, we just lost two linebackers for the year as well. So I know we lost Compton and Mason Foster for the year. So I don't even know who half our depth. I think Zach Vigil's the guy we just signed. I don't even know who that really is. So that's kind of where our depth's at, middle linebacker as well.
You do have Zach Brown, who's one of the better athletes at linebacker. So that'll be a fun matchup to see.
Yeah, we do have Zach Brown, who is, you know, probably perhaps the best linebacker in football right now with his skill set and his stats, you know, stats performance right now. I think he leads the NFL in tackles by like 13. So Zach Brown has been all over the place. But to get into your secondary this year, the Saints secondary the last couple years has gone from laughably horrible, pretty much NFL history bottom feeder. Like they were one of the worst secondaries in the history of football. And this year they have perhaps the top corner in the NFL. One of the best safety duos in the NFL. What has been the key to this change back here in the Saints secondary?
Man, you know, the first 2 weeks of the year looked a lot like the past 3 years, where they're just being this so extra on defense, where you can't just roll out with a zone blitz. You have to call a zone blitz with a double A gap feint to sink into zones, and you have to drop Cam Jordan into coverage, and you have to blitz a safety from the deep thirds, and just all kinds of crazy stuff. They throw all that out the window week three, and things have just turned around tremendously. Marshawn Lattimore was known to be an elite man coverage corner coming out of college, and he has taken very quickly to teaching by the Saints defensive staff. That's defensive coordinator Dennis Allen, who has a background in the secondary. That's second-year defensive backs coach Aaron Glenn, who played in the NFL for quite a long time, and then some other assistants, including Peter Guyant, who was with the New York Giants for a long time. And so Lattimore, he's become one of the best, well, the best rookie in the NFL right now, if not the best cornerback. And he's shut down just about everybody across from him. He's on pace to allow fewer catches in his rookie year than Darrell Revis allowed in his rookie year. So we're talking about a generational talent here.
Oh, yeah.
So the other guys in the secondary talk about Marcus Williams was one of their second round picks out of Utah. He has a reputation as a ball hawk, but that hasn't really, you're not going to see that on his stat sheet right now. He only has one pick, and that's because they're just holding it down in the deeper parts of the field so well. He's not getting tested often. He did have two interceptions off of Tom Brady pulled back from unrelated penalties in the second game of the year. So as far as I'm concerned, he should have three picks, but he's only got the one. So take that for what it's worth. But he's somebody who takes good angles to the ball, limits big plays. He's just a very smart player. Kenny Vaccaro is one of their top defenders. He may be out this week. We mentioned that earlier. He's been working back from a groin muscle pull, so he's been limited in practice. I don't think he participated today, so we're not sure when or if he'll return. So with him out, you're going to see a lot of Von Bell. He's another Ohio State grad on the Saints. You know, the Buckeye South is what they've kind of become recently. Can do a lot of things as far as playing the box safety to lining up as a situational pass rusher at times. He's got he's got 2.5 sacks this year. He's made a lot of impact plays in that role, and he's somebody who I think will see good number of moments from this weekend.
Yeah, that's definitely a really good group they got there in the secondary. And overall, what we can kind of conclude from John's assessment of this team is, they're really good at football, and they're going to be really tough matchup for us this week, a top offense, a top defense, and it's going to be hard for the Redskins to move the ball and stop them from moving the ball. So excellent analysis there, John. We're about to conclude this podcast here, but I just kind of want to bring up something. So I talked about this earlier this week. I was talking about previous Saints and Redskins matchups, and the one that always sticks out to me, I don't know if you remember this at all, when the Saints won the Super Bowl, a couple, you know, whatever years ago it was, do you remember when the Redskins played the Saints that year?
I don't remember what part of the year. I know it was around this time, as I recall.
Yeah, the Saints were 11-0. The Redskins were 3-8 at this point. Do you remember how the Saints ended up winning that game?
Oh yeah, the meet around there.
yeah. There you go. See, I knew a Saints fan.
Yeah, okay, I remember that play quite well. So Drew Brees drops back in the pocket, hits tight end Jeremy Shockey on a crossing route. He gets tackled by a safety, pops the ball up, and another defensive back runs up, grabs it out of midair, starts to run it back. While he's crossing the field, Robert Meacham, a wide receiver, catches him midway, strips the ball, and then runs it in about 30 yards for a score. And it was just one of the craziest plays and from a season full of high-octane, crazy plays.
Oh, dude.
So I hope I didn't reawaken any old wounds in your fan listener base here just now. Sorry about that, guys.
No, man, I was actually talking about old Saints Redskins matchups on Tuesday's pod, and I was talking about how the last couple matchups have been great. You know, 2012 RG3's rookie game, how RG3 came out slinging it, and how Kirk Cousins dismantled you guys a couple years ago in 2015. So I was talking about how these last couple matches have been fun, but people didn't really seem to remember that one. Where the Saints, I knew a Saints fan remember it, though, because, yeah, what'd you call it, the Meech Around? Is that what it was?
Yeah, well, Robert Meacham was the player who made the strip and returned it. It's been the Meech Around play for among Saints fans in the 10 years or however long since. I know I've been gassing up the Saints a fair bit this podcast, but I just really want to stress that, you know, the Redskins are a good football team. I know they've been hit hard with injuries. You guys had, 21 on the injury report today? I'm really bummed. My guy, Matt Ioannidis? I forget how to spell it.
Ioannidis. Yep.
Thank you. Yep. Yeah, man, he was one of my guys at the Senior Bowl a couple of years ago. I watched him put Zach Martin on his back in one-on-one drills. And he ended up, I think he's been bouncing on and off of the roster, and he started some games at nose tackle for you guys, played well, and now he's out with an injury. And it just kind of bums me out, because that's somebody I'm a fan of, and I mean, he had good tape at Temple, and I was happy to see him doing well in at the pro level at this point, you know?
No, he was having a great year. He's actually on pace to play this week, but he's going to have a giant cast on his hand this week, so I don't know how effective he'd be. But yeah, like you said, he had 4.5 sacks, I think, through like 6 games. He was on pace for like 13 or 14 sacks. He was having an outstanding season, and then, you know, derailed by injuries, Jonathan Allen going down with an injury as well. I mean, you can't even count on 2 hands how many players on IR now for the Redskins. We have, I think, 12 players now in IR. So it has been a tough season. And,
oh, yeah.
And, of course, we have played the toughest schedule in football by far. I think our opponent's winning percentage is, like, 67% or something like that. And that's with...
Yeah, it's something crazy. I was looking at that earlier. It's just obscene. I mean, even the power gap between y'all and the second highest ranked schedule. I do want to make note, the Saints have faced the highest strength of schedule among all teams with a winning record. They're at 565, I believe, and they, I mean... Their two losses came to the New England Patriots and the Minnesota Vikings, two teams that are, I think, 7-2, 8-2 at this point in the year. So it should be a good game between two good teams. And, well, I hope the Saints don't keep it too close, but I'm expecting the Redskins to be in it all the way through.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of where I've been all week with it. I think the Saints do pull us off because, again, they are a really hard team right now. I mean, they are rolling, they're firing on cylinders. So it'd be really tough for the Skins to win. But you got a score prediction for this weekend here, John?
Man, I'm thinking that this is going to be the first game in a while, just because I like Kirk Cousins, I like the Skins' offense, got some good receivers between Jamison Crowder, Josh Doctson, got some guys coming off the bench like Ryan Grant, who are pretty good. Was it Mo Harris, is the practice squad guy who was called up?
Yeah, Mo Harris, the guy's one-handed plays catch.
As I recall. Yeah, I did my homework.
There you go.
Jordan Reed is expected to play, last I checked, so that should be another dynamic part of the offense. They haven't allowed a lot of yards to tight ends, but they haven't played a lot of good tight ends. So this could be kind of a coming out game for Chris Thompson and Jordan Reed if the Saints linebackers aren't up to snuff. So I'm thinking this is going to be kind of close, probably like a 28-23 matchup, where it'll probably be within a score to close out the game. One guy I want to touch on real quick before we go is a situational pass rusher, Junior Jovais Gallette. He's a former Saints kind of a problem child, I guess you could say. And a lot of Saints fans are eagerly waiting for him to make his return and hopefully get pasted into the turf in the Superdome. How has he looked for the Washington defense?
He's got a lot of pressures. He's looked quick, but he's just not finishing plays, and he's just not an every down player. So I don't think he's recorded 1 sack this year. He's got a couple pressures. He's looked okay at times, but definitely not what he promised going into the year. I think he was talking on Twitter before the year saying 14 sacks. Unless he gets all 14.
Yeah, he talks a lot, yeah.
Yeah, unless he gets all 14 this weekend, I don't see him getting there. But, you know, Redskins fans are hoping that this is his coming out party for the year. Hopefully he comes out against his old team and schools you guys for a couple sacks. But I don't know. He hasn't really been that great this year. So I guess we'll see with Junior.
Well, yeah, if Adrian Claiborne can do it, and so can Junior Gallette. So.
Yeah, if you guys want to start Chaz Green on your left tackle, then there we go. We'll get Junior Gallette with 6-7 sacks.
Yeah, I don't know about that one, but we'll have to see how that turns out.
All right, man. I appreciate you coming on today. It was a really fun show. Oh, my score prediction, by the way, I'm going to go 34-27 Saints. This is the first game all year I've picked the opposing team to win. That's how much respect I have for the Saints team. So 34-27 is what I'm going with. 28-23 was John's prediction. We'll see who's closer. Again, John, thanks for coming on. Any last words you want to say?
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Zach. I appreciate the opportunity to get to interact with another fan base and everything. If any guys like what I had to say, check me out on Twitter. That's at John_Sigler. That's S-I-G-L-E-R-R-R. See if the takes are too hot or what you guys think. Should be a fun game. I'm looking forward to catching it in between my 8-year-old soccer awards there. So we'll see how it goes. Thanks for having me on. See you guys someday.
Yep. Thanks for coming on again, John. You were excellent. I love you as a guest. Thank you. And everyone, go follow him for his awesome, not too crazy hot takes. He does some good work over there at SB Nation. So John is an excellent follow. So guys, remember, tune in tomorrow as we will be breaking down our individual player reviews on Kendall Fuller and Brandon Scherr for the season. So I will talk to you guys tomorrow.